The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to IMC. Can you hear me okay? Good. My name is Dawn Neal, and this evening is a discussion evening on the Dharma and the creative process. So this is two favorite topics of mine combined. I'm going to give a short talk, 10 or 15 minutes, and after I'm done, I'm going to ask us all to move in closer so we can have a discussion. So, enacted creativity is the best term I could come up with for the myriad different ways that creative expression can show up in our lives. In the last couple of months, I've talked to people who are painters, dancers, designers, group process leaders, community builders, poets, writers, musicians, you name it. And the creative process underpins all of those activities and far more. Enacted creativity, like meditation, could be considered a form of ceaseless responsiveness, interplay, dance with the moment, with the mind. But it's not just that. Creative practice isn't creative practice unless it's held within the frame of intention. Hopefully held lightly. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes. Intention is one key to creative process and to meditation. And the first way it's a key, as most of us know, is in carving out the space for it in our lives. Getting to the cushion to begin with, getting to the desk to begin with, wherever it is that you do what you do. And there's also the intention of orienting the mind to engaging in a certain way. And that shapes creative process and meditation alike. It's what separates music from noise, art from scribble. It also separates meditation from just mulling something over or distraction, right? And the meditation for the purpose of freedom, that intention separates Buddhist meditation from mental gymnastics of different kinds. Personally, I've found it helpful to pay attention to how I relate to intention in the creative practices I've done in my life. And one of the reasons for that is that intention, if it's clung to, can really easily harden into something else that actually blocks us. And one extreme example of that is perfectionism. Annie Lamott, the writer, describes perfectionism as a cramp in our psychic muscles. Pain from childhood, adult disappointment, or some kind of other issues, which somehow this cramp guards against and tries to prevent more hurt, more disappointment from coming in. The only problem is that cramp also prevents healing, flow, creativity from coming in. I'm going to read just a little passage that she has about perfectionism here. In some cases, we don't even know that the wounds and the cramping are there, but both limit us. They keep us moving, painting, singing, and writing in tight, worried ways. They keep us standing back or backing away from life. Keep us from experiencing life in a naked and immediate way. So how do we break through them and get on? And she goes on to talk about some of her ideas, which I'm not going to share because I'm going to share some of mine. But something she does say, which I think is quite beautiful, is the role of awareness. You said awareness in this process is learning to keep yourself company. And then it becomes learning to keep yourself compassionate company. She also mentions the way that perfectionism is a mean and frozen form of idealism. Or I would say a mean and frozen form of intention. And by contrast, messes or messiness is an artist's best friend. Now, this is really true to form for me. I was an art major in college. I've been a practicing artist since I was about 10 years old. And in college, the bane of my existence was graphic design class, which, this is going to date me, when I was in college, it was ink, rapidograph pen, brush, and this white Bristol board. No Photoshop, no pixel paint, no nothing. And I hung out with kind of an artsy crowd, so we would get together late at night and do our projects, kind of all sitting around on the floor in one friend's room. And I acquired a reputation very early on. I was the one who moved really fast through the whole process. I mean, I would just whip things out. And then, wouldn't you know it, right towards the end, somehow I would always make a mistake. Like, one time it was a big mistake. I remember the ink well actually fell and blotted, like this huge splot of ink on this, you know, pristine white part of the board where, you know, the logo's over here and all of a sudden, black oozing everywhere. And my friends just sort of like shook their head and we all laughed. But here's the thing. It actually taught me a lot doing this because I had to learn how to work those mistakes into my final piece if I didn't have enough time to change and completely start over, which often I didn't. So I got really acquainted with working with accident, mess. The accident that creates a spontaneous new direction, the accident that brings on an expletive, the accident that makes you start over. All of those accidents. So how do we relate to the accidental in meditation? The unexpected. How do you relate to it in your own creative practice? Is it exasperation? Or is it an invitation to a new direction? Perhaps even a creative, spontaneous moment, right? It's the off chord, a muffled, muttered from the guitarist, or is it a transformation into a new improvisational riff? What's the difference? Sharon Salzberg talks about this process of shifting and starting over. I think it's in her book, Real Happiness. She talks about no matter where you've gotten yourself in meditation, it's always okay just to start over, to start the experiment again. This breath is the first breath of the next meditation. This breath. This moment of loving kindness. Whatever form that's happening, this stroke, this chord, this move. So I can almost hear some of my college friends protesting as they hear this talk, if they heard this talk. Some of them were really into precision, right? And precision, in some forms of creative enactment, precision is really important. I would say in many of them, or most of them, it is important at least some of the time. So then the question comes, how do you relate to moments where you just miss the mark? And how do you relate to the moments where you just get it? What's the difference? Is it harsh? Is it triumphant? Is it an aha, a learning? What's the vedana of those moments where the flow is working versus the flow is stuttering or halted completely? What is the feeling tone? Is it pleasant, unpleasant, or open, neither? Another question is, does one correct oneself or just acknowledge? So I'm a Tai Chi practitioner of many years, and my teacher told me a story about his teacher, the living master of the lineage. And he said at one of these giant Tai Chi conferences, I guess hundreds and hundreds of people go to these things, someone came up to the master and said, "Master, I've been watching you for years, and I've never seen you fall or trip or make a mistake. What are you doing?" And the master just calmly looks at the person and says, "I'm falling all the time. I just correct myself faster than you can see me." I suspect his falls were very, very tiny falls. He was also making new moves out of his mistakes. His changes turned into new forms, family forms for that particular lineage, because the mistakes or the deviations would actually open up new directions. That mastery of the creative process would just show, "Oh, look, wow, that wasn't intentional, but it's useful. It works." He was responding. In playful responsiveness, experimentation. In this perspective on the creative process, the primary medium of creativity, whatever form you practice, is actually time. Or more precisely, impermanence itself, which shows itself through time. One way to learn back and forth between meditation and creative process is to focus on impermanence in a playful way, responsive way, noticing those moments of spontaneity, of aha, of planning precision, or even blockage, just as movements of the moment, movements of the heart. In this way, the process is a collaboration, an attunement with what is, even if what is that I'm sitting at my desk with 20 pages to write and no clue what I'm going to say. It's happened. And some artworks are this process, right? Dance, improv, certain forms of acting, many forms of music. Other creative forms, you see this kind of anicca, this collaboration with anicca, with change, with impermanence, in the tracks it leaves behind, like the tracks of a wild animal in the woods or a crab on the beach. A painting is like that. It's the traces of someone's dance with that canvas in the moment. It shows their everything, their planning, their spontaneity, their hiccups. Sometimes the hiccups turn into new art movements. That's kind of cool. So when flow is present, possibilities can unfold and be responded to with this combination of intention and openness, mindfulness, concentration, or their opposites. And that's all part of the dance, too. So those are some initial thoughts about intention, accident, playfulness, experimentation, and impermanence. Thank you for your attention. Mm-hmm.